Dan Ninham is the coach for something called the Indigenous Winter Games Tour. And every week through January and February, games including lacrosse on ice, shinny on snow, winter trekking, and several others will be happening around northern Minnesota. And he is here to enlighten us about this program now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Good. So can you enlighten us on what the winter games are exactly?
The northern Indigenous games are Indigenous games that are played throughout North America. And for the last several years, my wife, Susan, and I have been directing events primarily in the upper Midwest with the warm weather games.
Okay.
But in the last couple of years, we started the winter games. So this is our second edition. I'm officially doing the Northern Indigenous Winter Games.
I've read where you were talking about this, the holistic concept of how and why competitors are playing the various games. Could you talk a little bit about that and how it relates to the traditional games?
Well, I teach physical education at Bemidji Middle School. I've also taught in my home community of Oneida, Wisconsin at the Oneida Travel School. In the beginning of my career, about 30 to 37 years ago.
Hmm.
And also, when we first got married, we went out to the largest BIA boarding school in the country, Wingate High School near Gallup, New Mexico, among the Navajo people. And at that time, we met a runner, Chuck Foster, who was a lifelong, career-long friend of ours. But he wasn't only a runner. What got me going with my direction, my career direction, is that he ran for more than just running, and that extended to more than a game that I find that a number of Native people have played and continue to play their games in that capacity of it being more than just the physical activity. And we key on the sociocultural significance of why Native people play and how they play, why they play, and what they play. And you think of the lacrosse game. Lacrosse, the Ojibwe word is Bagadawe, and that word is the stick, the lacrosse stick. Mm-hmm. But Bagadawewag is that they are playing the game. They are playing the wooden stick game, and lacrosse, of course, is a French word, but the Native people have their own Native language for their game. And we believe and we are taught that you play for other reasons than just going out and throwing the ball out and playing the game. There's so many other aspects involved. And like with the Bagadawe game, that it's considered a medicine game in many communities. A medicine would help the community heal from certain things that are going on in their community, or either the community or the individual. Could be played to settle disputes. It could be played for a number of different reasons. So rather than just going out and throwing the ball out and playing the game. But we've included a number of games throughout North America and as well as within the Ojibwe people.
I'm looking at the information that I have, and there are several games. I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about, I'm familiar with lacrosse, and many of us are, but what's Oneida football and Crow Arrows? I'm curious about those.
Well, the Crow Arrows, among the Plains people, the arrows, they look more like a javelin or a spear, but the Crow Arrows game is still played to this day. The Dakota people also play the game. And one person throws a target arrow. And you think of a soccer field or a football field. So you start in one end zone area. You throw the target arrow about 50 to 70 yards away. And then people take turns throwing all of their arrows, trying to get as close as they can to that arrow, that target arrow. And the winner would be the one that would get as close to the target arrow and he would receive that target arrow as the prize. It's just one area of the gameplay. And there's a significance behind the arrow game in the warrior societies of the Plains people, and warriors being men. So they have arrows that are painted, so they represent different parts of their culture. And when they're painted, the Crow believe that that's where the medicine is in that arrow. And I've worked with Whale Bulltail, a Crow member in Montana, and I always have to talk to people to see what we can and can't do, because there is protocol in what you can do with different games, and a lot of it is gender-based, and women are not allowed to touch a Crow arrow that's painted, and it's not a negative. Women have the power in indigenous societies and people's ways, and they have the power as representing future generations. So it's like an advantage that they would have, and it's not a negative way. They cannot play with a painted arrow. But Wales Bulltail mentioned that if the arrow is not painted, that women and girls can throw the arrow. So that's what we do. We don't paint the arrows. And the arrows game is coming here to northern Minnesota and Wisconsin quickly, as well as a lot of other type of games.
Are these games open to all youth when they come through the towns? You know, I know they're going to Manoman in Virginia, Granite Falls, Red Lake. Can anybody play, or is it more open to anybody being observing?
The games are open to anyone and everyone.
Okay.
It's keyed on multicultural sharing of what we do.
Okay.
We as indigenous people, and it's open. We're also going to be having a round dance in Bemidji on Wednesday, January 23rd, and that's going to be coming out here in the next day or two for promotion too. But the round dance is a cultural event where we share our culture and encourage people to come out and to dance, all cultures, all people to come out and pretty much our goodwill games, our goodwill dances, encouraging people to experience what we do as Native people.
Yeah, build bridges and understanding. Well, thanks, Dan. Thanks for all the work you're doing to spread this cultural awareness and education and connections.
Well, I'd like to add that for all of these afternoon of Northern Indigenous Winter Games, we also have a morning session for educators and community recreation folks and administrators, keying on indigenizing physical activity breaks in the classroom and in the community. So these workshops are also being held to encourage activity breaks using the native language, either the Ojibwe and or the Dakota language in our area of Minnesota.
Are you leading those educational opportunities?
Yes. Okay. My wife and I are leading them, and we have Ethan Neardale from Osseo Indian Education doing the Dakota versions at the Dakota communities, and we have some communities that have a mix of Ojibwe and Dakota that we're going to be using. We're encouraging the language or its benefits, not only of doing physical activity breaks, but there's benefits of learning another language and using another language. And so we're encouraging all of those benefits, a lot of cognitive benefits, either on increased attention span and less off-task behavior and increased standardized scores. And there's research out there that really keys on all of these areas. So we're bringing that all together, and we're looking forward to that training as well.
And that'll be in the mornings, the mornings of the games.
Sessions, 9 a.m. to noon at all these places. And this is just a start. We have a spring tour that's also going to be happening in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And it's a year-round initiative.
Well, you're doing great work, Dan. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Thanks. That is Bye. Dan Ninnem. He is a physical education teacher at Bemidji Middle School, and he is also in charge of organizing the Northern Indigenous Winter Games Tour and the Spring Games Tour.